The enemy wants us to put every idol possible in our lives that may seem like good things so that it takes away our expectation on God himself. He will insert a good job, marriage, whatever it is, relationship, money into our lives to build dependence on those things so that our dependence is, sometimes we don't even realize it, removed from God slowly and placed on other things. And most of the time, we don't even see it coming.
It's time now for the Autumn Miles Show.
Hey guys, it's your girl back again, Autumn Miles. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Autumn Miles Show. I have so much to share with you today. I hope that you guys have had a great week and you're ready for this. Are we ready? Are we ready to kick off our week in a good place, listening to the Lord, leaned in? I know I am. I have a word that the Lord specifically has put on my heart for this recording. And I've got a lot of personal stuff to share with it. And I do believe it's not just an autumn word. It is a universal word for my audience out there today. Hello, out there listening today. I'm excited to get to it. It's going to be good. If you have been scratching your head a little bit about what's going on in your life or you're frustrated, you know, this is the show for you. We're going to realign our mind with where it needs to be after the break. Love you guys so much. We have so much going on, so much transition over here in every way. You know, sometimes when you transition, it's like, okay, cool. God, you're going to send me into a transition. Oh, you're going to transition my entire life? Cool. Let's do it. Ready or not, it's coming. So we're in like this huge, crazy, you know, massive transition, and I'm loving it, honestly. I'm one of those people who I do not like things to stay the same. I get bored extremely easy, which my husband doesn't like because he's like, oh my gosh, you want to move again? You want this again? You want that? And we've actually lived in the same place for like 14 years. So every time I say let's move, he's like, no, we're not going to move because God isn't in it, Autumn. You just want to move because you want something different. So then, you know, I go buy some new earrings and I'm good to go. I love transition. I love change. I'm one of those weirdos who I feel comfortable with transition. Like, that's how I feel comfortable. I know that if something stays the same for a long time, I'll get bored. So anyway, God's like, you won't be bored this time. He's really sending one down our smokestack over here. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that after the break. So many things happening. I'm excited for the future. Very excited. But yesterday, you know, we record a week in advance. All right. So this might be old news, but I think it's a funny story to tell you about the eclipse yesterday. Okay. First of all, the world did not end. And, you know, listen, I do believe that God spoke to us yesterday. If you want to know my opinion about the eclipse, I do believe God spoke. Not because there was an eclipse, but because God specifically tells us in his word that he speaks through the heavens, okay? So when there is an event like the eclipse, that is one way that God communicates with us. And he says, listen up, pay attention, I'm saying something. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. So they are speaking, they are saying something about God, and it is our job as followers to lean in and listen, okay? I'm obsessed with stuff like eclipses. I think they're cool because when they happen, you cannot deny the divine in it. You can't deny it. It was so funny this morning at breakfast. This has nothing to do with what I'm getting ready to tell you, but I thought it was funny. Haven, my daughter, who is, I have talked about her countless times. She is my comedic relief. She's hilarious. And she has a very interesting personality that not a lot of, she's intimidating to a lot of people. I mean, she's eight, but it's like a lot of people are like, does she like me? I don't know if she likes me. She might not. That's just the bottom line. She might not. But she's so funny. And she's very, very sweet. She's like an M&M. She's got a little crusty outward shell, but on the inside, she's sweet. Just like it is when you buy an M&M. Anyway, this morning at breakfast, she was like, Mom, why was the eclipse so short? Like, we stayed there and waited for a long time. And I was like, are you upset with this giant cosmic event that happened? Like, you don't need to be asking me why the eclipse was not longer. You need to be asking the Lord, why did he not make it longer? Did you want it to be longer? And she's like, yeah, I wanted it to be longer. So she was upset that the eclipse wasn't longer. And she wanted to know who she could talk to about that. But it was a great opportunity yesterday for us to talk to them about God did this. You cannot prearrange something like an eclipse. Like it is definitely from the hand of God Almighty himself. But my family went, my kids were out of school because Dallas is one of the like major premium total eclipse viewing sites. And so everyone and their mom was here for the eclipse. And we welcome you. We love you. Okay. We love you so much. I'm so glad you came. But we had a huge viewing party at our church. And guys, I actually thought this, like, don't make fun of me, but you can make fun of me because I realized how stupid it was yesterday. I didn't buy glasses because I'm like, I don't even want to say it. I'm just so stupid. I'm not stupid, okay? I just got a 99 out of 100 on my Paul test on my master's degree, and it was on all the 13 letters of Paul. So that's a lot of information. Romans itself could be like an entire, you know, have its own zip code. So I'm telling you right now, don't judge me based on this. I did not buy the glasses, okay? And this is honestly, legitimately what I thought. My sunglasses are polarized. I know. It's so bad. It's so ridiculous. But that's actually what I thought. All my kids have polarized sunglasses. You know, my daughter just bought some brand new ones. I'm thinking, we're fine. We're good. We just stare at the sun as long as we want to. We're great. It's not going to burn our eyes. We're fine. It's fine. They're polarized. Boy, was I so wrong when I got to the party and I was looking up at the sun and everyone's like, Mom, my eyes are burning. I'm like, yeah, don't look at the sun. I guess everyone has said, don't look at the sun because it'll burn your eyes. But I was so grateful that they were handing out these little eclipse glasses and I put them on and I was like, oh, that's what we get to see. So anyway, I told several people that because, you know, I am who I am. Like, we all think stupid things at times. That was mine. That was a chief moment where I thought, wow, that I could have put more thought into that. But I told a couple of things and they made fun of me the entire time, you guys. It was rough. They were going, what are you thinking? I'm like, I actually didn't think. I don't have time to think about an eclipse on the daily, so I didn't think. I wasn't one of those people that like planned in advance because I have a lot going on. So anyway, just so you know, in the next 300 years, when we have a total eclipse, you cannot look at it with polarized sunglasses. You've got to buy the little glasses that they give you that blocks everything out. Oh, Autumn. Yeah. If you needed a laugh, you're welcome for that. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed it. I thought it was phenomenal. I was like screaming the whole time and saying, this is so awesome. This is so majestic. It was really, really good time. Okay, so after the break, we're going to talk about expectation. And we're really, really going to drive I might do a series on this. I don't know. I just know that today I needed to talk about it because I know those of you that have logged on or are listening right now, somebody needs to hear this. So we're going to talk about expectation today, and then I'll decide if we're going to go into a series on it. But catch me. Don't go anywhere after the break, and we'll start this thing. I'll see you in a sec.
We have a liftoff.
Yeah, stand on a rock and I roll like a lion. Demons came at me, I knew they were lying. Put on my armor and then started shining. Unloaded a clip, the spirit was flying. Pressure been building, it's all about timing. Stand on a rock, I stand on a diamond. Stand on a rock, a vessel like duck. Demons came at me, I put them in chuck. Firm foundation, my fear got popped. Got on my life and he put it on lock. Holy in the city since 14. Yeah. Put an enemy to sleep like it's codeine. God got my back and it's so like an OG. Yeah. So I'ma keep fighting like it's OT.
The potential for God to change lives is clear. Autumn Miles has a mission to spiritually challenge the way people think. The Autumn Miles Show and Autumn Miles Ministries are 100% listener supported by those who have already been blessed by God's Word. Would you like to see others experience the change that you have already experienced? Consider being a financial partner with this life-changing ministry. Simply go to autumnmiles.com and click the Donate tab. While you're there, check out all the aspects of this dynamic work. Thank you for supporting Autumn with your prayers and by being a financial partner. God bless you.
Okay, over the last several months, we have been, you know, working towards getting my daughter in a place where we know God is leading her to college, okay? And there has been so many, oh my goodness, if you've been there, you get it. If you haven't, start praying. But I've shared a lot about her journey and, you know, really a lot about her journey. I mean, she's my first. And so she's always going to be the one that she's like a resident guinea pig. You know, we're just trying things out on her. And if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, we won't do that with the other three kids. She's just kind of always been the guinea pig. But in the last several months, God has really challenged her, I think I could say, with her permission, and proven himself to me on this idea of expectation. I want to share a little bit about her story just because I think it's so fitting for what God wants me to talk to you guys about today. There is, I believe, an assault from the enemy on our minds about where to put our focused expectation. Once we become a believer, we know in that moment. You ever see someone that's just recently converted? They're so excited about the Lord and they're praying and they're asking the Lord for everything and all this stuff. And I don't believe the enemy really attacks new believers, depending on the circumstances, but rarely do you see someone who is a true convert of Christ struggling with their expectation. It's when time has lapsed, okay, in your conversion, after your conversion, time has lapsed, life has lapsed. I know this is one of the ways, this is one of the arrows that Ephesians 6 talks about, our expectation. We begin to expect things from things that are not God. And I want to be careful about this because I know some of you guys will be like, well, yeah, I don't know. You'll email me all sorts of crazy stuff. So just, I know what I'm saying, okay, because I've lived this. But we begin to input little demigods into our life that we put full pressure on to provide for us. And they never will. We talked about this a little bit last week with Irvin, and I hope if you did not listen to my interview with Irvin Lee, I hope that you go back and do this. He was talking about, you know, he thought that the wine, he became an alcoholic. He thought that that would serve him or make him happy. He thought women would do it. He thought money would do it. And none of those things did it. Okay. And loosely related is this idea of expectation. The enemy wants us to put every idol possible in our lives that may seem like good things, so that it takes away our expectation on God himself. He will insert a good job, marriage, whatever it is, relationship, money into our lives to build dependence on those things, so that our dependence is, sometimes we don't even realize it, removed from God slowly and placed on other things. And most of the time, we don't even see it coming. My goal for today, as we talk through this, is to realign your mind on where to expect things from. The Bible is full of examples, and we're going to get to one of my favorites here in a minute. I want you to realign. It's interesting to me how when a woman suspects they are pregnant, they just suspect. They'll go and they'll take, like, literally, I got my pregnancy test for my kids from the Dollar Tree. Because they were a dollar. And I didn't have any money. So we were like, yeah, okay, the Dollar Tree. Cool. Let's go try one of those. And this dollar, it was $1. That's all that the pregnancy, I think I bought like three just to be like, I need to really know that if I'm pregnant or not. But we went to the Dollar Tree and Eddie bought all these pregnancy tests and came home and I took these pregnancy tests with Grace specifically. And they came up positive. Obviously, she's here. And I put all of my faith and trust in this $1 pregnancy test, because my body at that time didn't look any different. You don't start showing until, you know, you're months along. You don't have any, I mean, maybe you feel nauseous or whatever, but you don't have any physical change on the outside. And yet you put all of your faith and trust into this tiny little $1 Dollar Tree pregnancy test that you believe until you can get to the doctor and actually confirm through a blood test or whatever it is that they do nowadays. It's been a long time since I've had a baby, that you are in fact pregnant. You don't have any signs of it, but you're putting all of your faith and your trust and your hope into this $1 pregnancy test. And what do we call it after the pregnancy test comes positive? She's expecting. All of your faith and trust in this $1 Dollar Tree thing. Maybe you bought yours at Walmart or Target and you're bougie like that. I didn't. Maybe yours was $20. Mine was $1. But what do we say? She is expecting. We see no change to our bodies on the outside. Now they're obviously changing on the inside, but we don't see any change to our bodies. And yet we're expecting life to come from them in 9 months and 40 weeks with really no other sign than a pregnancy test that is positive that it is coming. We tell our family, we tell our friends, we tell our job, we tell our insurance, we tell our kids, we tell all of these people, tell grandma, papa, you know, your husband, you tell your wife. Well, no, that wouldn't go that way. You spread the word, your pastor, everyone, based on two lines in a dollar pregnancy test. That's what I did. And when we say, she's expecting. I find this, we are doing the same exact thing. Maybe you're a man and you've never taken a pregnancy test. You know, I get it. Maybe you're past that point, and that is that. Maybe your kids are like me, going to college, and you're like, yeah, that's not a good example for me. But you understand exactly what I'm saying, because you have probably done it in your own life. the doctor's report. This is what we see. And so with the doctor's report, you put all of your faith, all of your trust, all of your hope. Now, God, let me say this before someone emails me. 100% uses our medical community to bring about medications that heal, wisdom that heals. Oh my gosh, my dad had open heart surgery several years ago and it completely healed him from his heart disease. It was absolutely unbelievable. I am not saying that. What I am saying is sometimes we put more trust in that than we do in God. This expectation, I believe, is a real problem. Because we have, you know, people walking around that are upset, discouraged, disappointed, frustrated, and obviously that's a part of life. But sometimes it's not, how do I say this? Lord, let me tell them the way you told me. Sometimes we walk around frustrated and disappointed because something didn't go our way when really we just misplaced our expectation. If we would raise our eyes and expect things from God Himself and know that He is the giver of all good gifts, He is the one that leads, guides, directs, shepherds us, provides for us. He is our ultimate provider of everything. Not just finances, of love, of patience, of companionship. He is our ultimate provider of money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He tells you about tithing. Listen, 10% out of Malachi, give that to me. And then once you do that, I will pour out a blessing from you that you can't even handle. That is God. Our provider, our source. He is our source of provision for everything that we need. But as I said when I started, a lot of times we'll go through, we'll live some life, and the enemy will come in, and sometimes we don't even realize it's happening, and we'll take our eyes off of the great provider and put them on someone that looks very credible and pressure them. In our own minds, might not even tell them that, to perform for us and meet our expectations. And when they don't, we walk around discouraged, depressed, anxious, frustrated. Habakkuk did this. You know, if you've listened to the podcast for any amount of time, Habakkuk 2 is my life verse, and we'll get to that. Let me read it first. I haven't memorized, but let me read it first. And then I want to talk about the context in which Habakkuk was saying this. Okay. He says in Habakkuk 2, and he's a minor prophet, okay? He's the bomb. Him and Jeremiah were friends, all right? At least history tells us that they were. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he, God, will speak to me and how I may reply when, that language says, oh, he's going to speak. I'm just going to wait for it. I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal. It will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. I have loved this verse. It confirmed my actually calling into ministry years and years ago. I've stood on this verse. I've shared this verse probably hundreds of times at this point. But I want to talk about the context in which Habakkuk began expecting in this way. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what God will speak to me. That is a man who is watching for God to work and nobody else. That is a man who has his full expectation. He knows where his provision comes from. He knows where peace comes from. He knows where the ultimate source of life comes from. He understands that God is the source. And so because he understands that God is the source for all of those things, he does not mess around with all these little demigods like a job or like that relationship or that person, or they didn't make me happy, they disappointed me, so I'm done with them. He didn't mess around with all these little demigods that we have maybe inputted in our lives. He went straight to the source and he said, I've got a question for you and I'm going to wait until you answer me. I am going to expect you to answer me. That is what I love about him. He's gangster Habakkuk. He is like, I know exactly who we need to hear from. I don't want to hear your opinion. I don't want to hear your no. I don't need to hear your yes. I don't need to hear any of those things. What I need is to hear the plan from the source of life. That was his position. What got him here was very interesting, okay? Habakkuk 1, and this is kind of where I feel, I'll talk about my daughter in a minute, but this is kind of where I feel like a lot of people are at. They were at a point where Jeremiah is called the weeping prophet. History tells us that Habakkuk and Jeremiah knew each other. So they were at a time of destruction. Evil men were rising up. They were taking over. They were in leadership positions. And he could not understand why God would be allowing this to happen. What he knew about God, the goodness that he knew about God, he could not understand what was being unveiled right before his eyes. He was frustrated with the way the world looked at that time. He was frustrated with circumstances that were surrounding him. He had a lot of questions. So this is what he says, Habakkuk 1:2. I'll go Habakkuk 1:1. The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. 2. How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? He reminds me a little bit about Job. We talked about Job in the fall. Y'all loved that series, but he reminds me a little bit of Job. Do you see how raw these prophets were? They weren't like plastic or painted up or anything like that. They weren't fake. They were raw before the Lord because they knew that they could be and they needed to be, so that we would have the example of who we need to follow in regards to our prayer life. How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law in Israel, the law, the Torah, is ignored. And justice is never upheld, for the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. This is Habakkuk, the minor prophet, who, by the way, his book is located, it was canonized, it is in the scripture here. This is how he's speaking to God. How long will I call for you to help and you're not going to hear me? I cry out to you, violence, yet you don't save. The context of what Habakkuk was living in was extremely difficult, but Habakkuk was one of those men that God wanted to use to actually in my study of Habakkuk, he probably saw when things began to turn around for the nation of Israel, and he probably saw it in his lifetime. And it was probably because of his faith that we see in this passage. But Habakkuk was living through times where you would think God would have chosen to do something different. You would think that God would have intervened. Us, from our perspective, we can look at situations and say, God, why did I not get that raise? Why did I not get that relationship? Why did that happen? and we're devastated about these disappointments in life when we need to pull ourselves back from relying too much on them and shift our eyes on the Lord and understand that if we truly understand that God is our source of provision for everything, the temporal disappointments of this world will not sting so bad. I really have seen this so much in the last few months with my daughter. I learned this when I got divorced and lost everybody. I mean, y'all know my story. I won't belabor it any longer, but it was a time when, you know, I was devastated. There's a couple people I still talk to from my BC years. And I lost everyone I went to school with, everyone that I'm like, everyone, most of the people, I won't say everyone, most 98% of people forsook me. And I learned when I filed for divorce, I learned a very important lesson all those years ago. They were never my source. They weren't my source of joy. They weren't my source of provision. They were never my source. I relied too much on what they thought. I relied too much on what they would do for me. I put so much pressure on myself to be approved by them. I put too much pressure on my boss to give me the raise or I was a waitress at the time, give me the good section so I would make more money. I relied too much on my money to pay the bills. I relied too much on everything other than God. And when you lose it all, you understand, oh, none of those things are my source. It changed the way I thought. It changed the way I live. I still don't live like that to this day. Even though I've been married for 20 years, I am very aware that Eddie is not God. Very aware. And he will tell you this. I am very aware that there are needs that I have that Eddie will never be able to meet on any level. Because they're soul needs, just like we just talked about for months. He is not made to be my God. He is made to be my partner. So when I start getting too mad at him, I have to step back and say, am I putting the priesthood on his head? Am I putting the wrong crown on his head in this moment? Am I expecting him to do something for me that only God could do for me? And a lot of times when I get frustrated with him, that is exactly what I'm doing. So I pull back and I say, you know what? This isn't a me and you problem. This is a me and God situation. And I'm going to go talk it out with him. It's the same with jobs and money. When I lost everything, I understood. I'll never forget. My divorce cost $500. And it was a supernatural. I mean, the lawyer that I got and everything, it was a very supernatural situation where God really led me to this man who had compassion on me, and I will bless his name to this day. And he said, you know what? Because of the situation, I'll do your divorce for $500. $500? That's like nothing. You know, when it comes to a whole divorce, filed the paperwork, did it all. I didn't even have to show up. And I remember I met with him and a couple days later, but $500 to me during that time might as well have been, you know, $100,000. Like, it was like, okay, I don't know where I'm going to get that, but I'll find it. And I went to the church the next day. I mean, that weekend. And my dad was the pastor of the church. And he had a little mailbox outside of his office. And there was an envelope that said Autumn on it. And I picked up the envelope and I opened the envelope and it was $500 bills. God, my source, who I was learning was my source during that time, provided supernaturally. So I took those $500 bills, took it to the lawyer, said, here you go, take it. This is for you. We're done. We're square. And we were square. I began to learn, stop putting so much pressure on these lesser things in life. Because they're not made to satisfy, provide, sustain you like God himself. My husband was talking to me one time about a job that he had, and I'll never forget this moment. He was talking about finances and, you know, all this thing. And I remember so clearly looking at him like he had like four heads. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Why are you so frustrated? Why are you annoyed at this situation? Your job is not our source of provision. God is. You've got this all wrong. Yes, obviously. That's one way that he provides for us. But if he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, buddy, stop putting so much pressure on them to provide. When God can come through, he can put money in your mailbox. He can give you a refund you didn't even know was coming. He can, you know, I mean, all sorts of, we have seen all sorts of things happen. Oh my gosh, miraculous things. When we begin to rely on God as our source for all provision, your life will change. When we begin to expect from him what only he can do, our entire life will change. And I get the sense today that there are some of you that are, you're caught in this expectation trap. You're expecting your husband to change. You're expecting your boss to change. You're expecting them to provide for you. You're expecting whatever. And I totally understand. I mean, expectation is just a part of life. But rather than putting so much pressure on them and mentally demanding them work the way you want them to work, change your expectation to seek what you need from God himself. Habakkuk was in one of these situations where he was like, nothing I think should be happening is happening. God, where are you? What is going on? I need you to come through. So what he did in Habakkuk 2, in the midst of this chaotic situation, frustrating situation, angry situation, he was angry. He went to the source. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to station myself here and I'm going to keep watch because I'm going to wait to see how you're going to reply to me. And then just like clockwork, the Lord answered me and said, record the vision, make it plain on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal. It will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. For it will certainly come and will not delay. My daughter has been wanting to go to Baylor University for years.
Years. So many years.
And she's always loved it. I don't really know what the draw was. Maybe it's because it's close to us here in Dallas. I don't really know what the draw is, but she's always wanted to go to the school and has worked in that direction. She's, you know, did all the things, prepared all the things, and, you know, looked up the scholarships, did all of those things. And I never 100% had like a perfect piece. Like, yes, this is it. And I would tell her, I just need to know a little bit more information. I'm not 100% there. I mean, Baylor is an amazing school. Like, it's amazing. But, you know, you kind of have to know as a parent what God is telling you so you can help direct your child, right? And something just didn't sit perfectly peacefully with me about it. And so I said, listen, let's just keep doing some research. I'm asking God what he wants to do. A couple months ago, I speak at Liberty every semester to their women's ministry department. And a couple of months ago, the Lord just mandated me and said, you need to take Grace with you to this trip that you're going to speak at Liberty University. And you guys may or may not know, that's where Eddie and I met. My parents went there. They met and married. And so there's a long history, but I'm not that kind of a mom that is just like, you're going here because I went there. That, no, I don't do that. I'm like, we want you to go exactly where God wants you. It has nothing to do with the long lineage of where we've, as a matter of fact, I never not one time pressured her, and I will never pressure her to do something I want her to do versus what God wants her to do. I'm not that kind of a mom. But I did hear God super clear when he said, you need to bring her. And it's so funny that like a couple days before we left, there was a drama and she was like, Mom, I can't go. And I'm like, oh, you're going. Because God told me you're going. So you're going. Everything worked out and she was able to go. And I would definitely say that I was expecting from God during that time. I didn't know why he wanted her to go. I thought very clearly, okay, it might be he wants her here. I mean, that's the obvious choice, right? But I didn't know exactly why. I just know she needed to go. We went. The story is so long, I don't want to bore you with it, but supernatural opportunities opened up in those 24 hours that we were there that were beyond my control. Like some of the things that happened, I was like, oh my gosh, did that just actually happen? And Jude was with us, and Jude and I would look at each other and we'd be like, is this actually happening? All of it in her favor. She wanted to get her BFA, her Bachelor's of Fine Arts. She's, a lot of you guys know, she's been in shows her entire life. Her first show that she was ever in, she was in kindergarten. So since she was 5 years old, she has done shows, musicals, plays. She has been in, her resume is impressive, and she's 18 years old. So she wanted to do that, and I thought, okay, well, we end up meeting the director of the entire program randomly. I think it was probably on his way to the bathroom. We randomly meet him. They strike up a conversation. They talk for 30 minutes, and it was like, wow, is this actually happening? This is so crazy. There was a lot of other little things that happened, and I saw in my daughter something that I learned a little bit older than her, which was to watch for God to work. We're watching you, God. And she was watching. She told me this past weekend, I was watching. I was listening. I was trying to hear exactly what God was telling me. Even though I personally wanted to go to Baylor, I was watching for what God was doing. A couple of weeks ago, she comes home and she says, you know, Mom, I think I want to see if there's tryouts for the Bachelor's of Fine Arts at Liberty. At this point, she's still not going to Liberty. She's still going to Baylor. That's where she wants to go. I said, great. She's also been a mascot for years in our ISD. And so the tryouts were back to back, Friday and Saturday. We go, we fly down, the two of us fly down. She tries out for both. And that was on Saturday. And by Monday, she had already gotten an email inviting her into the Bachelor's of Fine Arts at Liberty University. The crazy thing about that is while we were there, she got a text message from a girl who she's never met before saying, I'm going to Liberty. Would you like to be a roommate? She also had multiple people that she met that she immediately connected with. There were so many little things while we were there that God was paving completely the way for her to make it ultimately clear to her that this is where she needs to be. So much to tell. But the whole thing that I was thinking the whole weekend is what we miss when we don't expect from God and bulldoze through our life with our own ideas and putting so much pressure on these little demigods that the enemy sets up in our lives that we expect from, what do we miss? Grace could have very well bulldozed through and said, I'm going to go to Baylor because I've always wanted to, and that's what I'm going to do. But she shifted her focus from what she always wanted to do to what, God, what do you want to do? I expect you to give me an answer. Just like Habakkuk, I don't understand. She did not make the BFA program at Baylor this first year. So that was a real tough pill to swallow. So here we are looking at the situations going, okay, God, I'm shifting my focus to what I've always wanted. And sometimes your idol can be your own ideas. To what do you want? You lead me. You guide me. And it was like the Red Sea parted. God started to open door after door after door, financially, friendship-wise, roommate-wise, career path-wise, door after door after door, all because she said, I am going to shift my expectation from this world and from myself over to you, God. You provide. You show me, you lead. I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait and I'm going to watch to see what you're going to say to me. Because she's understood at a young age, thank you, Jesus, that he is our source. It's important to listen to wisdom in your life. Absolutely. it's important to listen to the doctor when they say you need to do this. Absolutely. But they looked at my brother and they said, you will never be healed. And we heard it. And we listened to it. And we did everything that they said. And then God said, I rebuke that word over your life. I'm going to heal you. I want your expectation of where provision of all sides of your life come from. I want it to shift from these temporal things of this world to God himself. When you do that, your life, the way you live it, how disappointed you are, how frustrated you are, how, you know, they hurt me, they wronged me, how bitter you, maybe you have become, resentful, all of that changes because you realize they are not my source. I have a source. And one day, every knee is going to bow down before him and every tongue is going to profess that he's Lord. I have a source. They're not it. So God, what they can't provide, please you provide. It changes the entire way we live. And Habakkuk knew that. And because of that, he was able to, I believe he was able to see the beginning of the change for Israel during that time. Listen, as someone that you listen to and as some of you that, and I will just say this, I know there's a lot of you that have listened for a long time and you trust me. And that's scary. Don't trust me, trust God. I don't want you to waste another second putting pressure on something that was never made to provide for you, whether it's love fully, whether it's love, whether it's a boss, whether it's a job, whether it's whatever. That is a miserable hamster wheel way to live. What if you lose your job? What if you lose that relationship? God's going to come through anyway. Release those things from the pressure that you've put on them. Baylor was never going to make Grace happy. She needed God to come in and provide clarity for her. Lean in and begin to expect from God himself. I say this because it's such a freer way to live. It's so liberating to be able to look at someone who's, you know, you're not their cup of tea and say, that's all right. God will provide someone else, you know, for me to be friends with. That's okay. I didn't get that raise. That's all right. I didn't get that position. That's okay. God will provide for me. You're not my source. God's my source. Oh, you don't want me in that BFA program? That's all right. Someone will want me. God lead me. Shift where you expect things from and watch how your life changes. Put all the pressure on God. Make it as hard as you can for him. He can take it. He can take it. I hope this ministered to you today. I love this. I love this, and I feel like I just gave birth to something because I do feel like someone needed this. And if that's you, let us know. You can email at hello@automaz.com. Let me pray over you. Lord, we love you today. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for examples like Habakkuk that are so real. They had problems. They were frustrated. They were mad. They were wrestling with you. They were human. Lord, when did Christianity not become human? When did that happen? Ugh. I thank you for Habakkuk. I thank you for this raw testimony of how he was feeling. I thank you, Lord, that I can relate to that. I thank you. I thank you also, Lord, that he took his frustrations to the one that could calm him. And God, I pray for that person right now that is struggling because maybe they didn't get the job. Maybe they're frustrated in their marriage or in a relationship or whatever it is. And they've just been frustrated and they're frustrated with being frustrated and they're tired of being tired and they're tired of being exhausted all the time. And they don't know what they need. They just know that they are craving you. Maybe they don't even know that, Lord. Maybe I just said they're craving you and they don't even know it. God, I pray today that you would give them the courage to shift their eyes. Shift them, Lord, to these temporal things. I pray that they would look up to you and begin expecting all provision to come from you. We love you. We trust you. We know that you are trustworthy. So work, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope that encouraged you today. I love y'all. I got a question, a good question, and an awesome testimony after the break. I'll see you in a second.
We have a liftoff.
Yeah, stand on a rock and I roar like a lion. Demons came at me, I knew they were lying. Put on my armor and then started shining and loaded the clip. The spirit was flying. Pressure been building, it's all about timing. Stand on a rock, I stand on a diamond. Stand on a rock, a vessel like duck. Demons came at me, I put them in chuck. Firm foundation, my fear got popped. Got on my life and he put it on lock. Holy in the city since 14. Yeah. Put an enemy to sleep like it's codeine. God got my back and it's so like an OG. Yeah. So I'ma keep fighting like it's OT.
Looking for a passionate speaker to bring the Word of God for your next conference or church function? We've got the girl for you. Autumn Miles is the founder of the Autumn Miles Ministries with the goal of spiritually challenging the way people think. Autumn is dedicated to teaching the Bible in an engaging and relatable way so that everyone can experience the Lord in a deeper way. Autumn is a survivor of domestic abuse, and she's passionate about educating the church on how to effectively assist victims. Her message of hope and healing has been shared on the big stage internationally. Autumn is devoted to spiritually challenging people to draw closer to God. She is a passionate advocate for the Word of God, women, domestic violence victims, and adoption. So what are you waiting for? You can book Autumn for your next speaking engagement today. Just go to autumnmiles.com. Once there, just search the top of the index for the Invite Autumn tab. Click on it and scroll down for more information. Once again, that's autumnmiles.com.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Okay, guys. I hope you enjoyed that. We have an awesome testimony today. Actually, let me go to the question first because it's a little bit meatier. Question is, and I love how real whoever this is. I always feel weird when the baskets are passed at church. And I've never really understood what's happening. Can you explain tithing in a way that makes sense? I love this question. Okay, and I have a passage of scripture for you, and then I'll explain it. Malachi 3:8 says this, "Will a man rob God?" Yikes. "Yet you have you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings." Now, this is rough language, but just go with me on this. "You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you." Now, this is the good part. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the window of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts." He says it right here. This is why we tithe. "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse so there may be food in my house." Talking about his house, okay? "And test me." Test me. This is the first time he has said test me in the scripture. You can look it up. "Test me. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the future of the land." Now, we tithe 10% and we tithe the first fruits of what we get. So 10% of our income, that is what the Bible talks about. There are lots of examples of tithing the first 10%. of what you have. So, you know, if you make $100, you tithe $10. You give it back to the Lord in whatever capacity that he says. And I have always said, you can't afford not to tithe. I don't know. There are supernatural provisions that God gives us when we tithe that I just don't think would happen any other way. There's absolutely no way. And it's a promise that he says he will do for us. Test me. You give 10%. Test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows. Our pastor always says this. God can do more with the 90% that you earn after you've given than with the 100% if you didn't. And I love that he says that because it's so incredibly true. He says he will rebuke the devourer, okay? The reason why we tithe is because, first of all, God tells us to. But secondly, there are supernatural blessings and provisions that God gives to us when we make sure that his house is taken care of. That is why we tithe. So when the baskets go by next time, and I understand sometimes it's awkward, go to Malachi 3:8-11. Read it. And that is exactly why we tithe. And there's lots of examples of that in scripture. Okay. I love that question. I thought it was super good. Very practical. I love it. And maybe a lot of people don't know why, you know, I mean, tithing is not really talked about the way it used to be talked about when I was growing up. It's different now. Things are different. Okay. Testimony. I've experienced so much physical healing and want to share. The last fall, I had many cysts in my body that were going to have to be removed. I had seen my specialist multiple times and had had multiple scans to confirm the surgery was needed. I was going in for my last scan pre-surgery, and so I called upon my praying friends, asking them to pray for a miraculous healing. When the doctor reviewed my final scan, he said the cysts were no longer and surgery was not needed. I broke down in tears, knowing full well this was God. Fast forward to this past winter. I have had to have yet another surgery, and the time, the recovery time was 10 weeks. Again, I called on my praying friends, asking them to pray for the miraculous. I just went in for my 6-week post-op and my doctor cleared me completely to go back to normal life, back to working out, moving, driving, lifting, etc. 1 full month prior to what my doctor said would be the earliest. So she was released 1 month earlier. I hope this encourages someone out there. God hears from us and our faithful prayer warriors. What a miraculous testimony. That is amazing. He is our source. He provides healing. He provides everything that we need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. I hope this encouraged you guys today. Love you guys so much. I will catch you next week for a brand new episode of The Autumn Mile Show. Have an awesome week. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Autumn Mile Show. To find out more, go to autumnmiles.com. Once you're there, you can check out the many resources that Autumn has available. From her books and past episodes to her video series, we've got all the tools you need to help you grow deeper in your relationship with God. Once again, that's autumnmiles.com. To get connected and for more encouraging content, you can follow Autumn on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Just search for Autumn Miles in your internet browser. We appreciate your prayers and support for this ministry. It's because of you that we have been able to impact millions of people worldwide, and that we can continue to serve those who need to hear Autumn's message of victory and promise. Find out how you can come alongside us when you go to autumnmiles.com. Just search the top of the index for the support tab. Thank you for listening in today, and be sure to join us next time for another episode of The Autumn Miles Show.